Doug, what's your thoughts on that?
The expectations were so high for this team. Do you think maybe the players and Mike didn't handle it well, especially after you had some early setbacks, you know, early losses?
Yeah, I think that we probably are an emotional group. I think it, our highs are high and our lows are low, and our consistency varies. I try and come up with different analogies. Most of them stupid, but I said to Mike, we got to get to the top of Everest, but we can only go down to base camp 3. We can't always go down to ground level 0 and walk our way up. And that's what our team does. Where our highs are good. When we play Toronto, we play very well, and it looks really good. Then we play Winnipeg, and it looks very good for 2 periods, and then it totally evaporates. And the good teams' highs are highs, but the really good teams, the really good players, lows are high, if that makes any sense. Again, it does in my convoluted mind. I might not be sharing it correctly, but I just think that we have to find a much more consistent secondary game than we have right now.
What's your thoughts on Jake Allen, how he's played? What have you seen from Jake?
I would say I thought Jake started out playing well this year, but the record and the statistics that goaltenders are measured by were not good. The save percentage, the goals against. But we could have had Marty in his prime or Patrick Waugh. Those stats were going to be the same. When you're giving up 3-on-1s and second chances, and there's no the front of our net is like a 7-11. It's open all the time. Like no one's going to be able to withstand that. And then I think that started to play in his mind. It started to play in all our minds. But the last 4 or 5 games, you know, you look at his save percentages, goals against average, it's been good. So I think that's the type of people we need to support more. And, you know, Jake's going to have bad nights. We're all going to have bad nights. It's how quickly he or Johnson returned to a good night and how quickly we give them support to allow them return to a good night.
You talked about the front of the net from the defensive end. Can you describe what you desire, want, deserve out of the players in front of the net?
Yeah, we have to go into the greasier areas to score goals. When you get shut out three times in 4 games, it's an indication when you don't get power plays and you don't score, it's the desire to play in the ugly and harder areas. I thought last night's game was a perfect example. We had probably 6 or 7 unbelievably grade-A chances that the goaltender had to block, not stop. So the puck's lying there, and I don't think we got 1 second chance. So that means that we're a one-and-done offense. We're not going to go in and play in those greasy areas. We're not going to make somebody haul us down because we're around and we're pushing and prodding, and I don't really count at the end of games when that happens. The other team's playing not to get scored on, and you're throwing everything at the net. Or really the San Jose game, you're down 3-0 and you make your push. That's loser hockey. That's not an indication of how the game went. Well, we outchanced them in the third period and we outshot them. That's good if it's a tie game or you're up a goal or down by a goal. When you're down by 3, the other team quits trying to score, and there's really, I don't put a lot of stock in that part of the game.
I mean, I know it's water under the bridge, you're looking ahead, but if you could just for a moment reflect on the coach and waiting concept as you look back at it, do you feel like it worked? Would you still do it again? How do you look back at it?
The concept I thought was valid. It was the coach in waiting was done because we had a coach that told me he wanted to coach one more year. I think we were coming off of a successful season. We went to the semifinals. I was looking for a continuation coach that could continue what that group had built, 100-point seasons, you know, a good playoff run. I didn't really want to. I was hoping to have a good season, build off that, have a coach there that could continue building on what we did. That group didn't get it done. We had to The coach that wanted to coach one more year ended up coaching half a year here. And we had to make that change. Mike came in, did a hell of a job, pushed us on. It made me feel that that was the right decision because he was able to get a group that I believed in at that time, you know, to go on a long run, to win a playoff round, to come out, to have a successful 25 games, the start of his next tenure. So it made sense at the time. It made sense for a portion of the work that was done. So I stand by the logic, but obviously, again, we're not in a spot where we want to be right now, and I'd, you know, it reflects on Mike Yeo, but not it shouldn't reflect solely on Mike Yeo, and it's not a referendum on his ability to coach. I think again he's paying for sins.
Is there any fear about fatigue with the players and the coach in general, depending on who the coach is? It seems like, you know, does any message get stale, and at what point is that more on the players than the coach?
Well, I mean, you look around other sports, it doesn't seem to affect the Patriots. It doesn't seem to affect the San Antonio Spurs. It affects us after a year. That's an indictment on us then, if that's the case.
Doug, I know you said you don't want to talk about individuals. Ken Hitchcock just took the job in Edmonton. Did you have a conversation with him at all in the last 24 hours about this position?
No. But Ken and I do talk quite a bit. I'm not surprised to hear that information, if it's accurate. Man, I wish him nothing but the best, and he's a hell of a coach.
Hey, just to clarify, you said Larry's going to join the squad. Is that on the bench?
That's going to be up to... just laughing, Penger. I can already see you back there, little buddy. I'd say stand up, but you are. just kidding, pal. No, Craig and I are going to talk on the plane. That's up to Craig on how he wants to manage his staff. I'll have my opinions on it, like I did with other people I work with, but ultimately Craig's the head coach, and he's going to decide what makes his staff function the best. I'm just excited to have someone with Larry's experience around our group.